Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, a delight to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Indeed, questions now coming in from around the world. The number is always to dial to get your questions answered, as just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, we have resource consultants standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I was thinking this morning that we live in an epoch that we probably never thought we would see. Islam now has surpassed Christianity as the fastest growing religion in the world. And it is uniquely poised to reshape and replace Christianity in the West with a more robust birth rate and a population that's growing. You see that Islam is taking the place of a West that is declining. Immigration is bringing Islam back to Europe and the United States. Millions have come to fill spaces left empty by aging, dying, aborted Europeans. And not one post-Christian nation has a birth rate sufficient to keep it alive. As John Paul once said, a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. As such, the Christian West faces an inescapable reality. When faith dies, culture dies. And when culture dies, civilization dies. And that is not a bold prediction. It is a simple depiction of what is today taking place in the West. And of course, to compound the problem is persecution. In the West, Christians face the specter of militant secularism. See, for Christian, as Mary Eberstadt has well said, has become the new scarlet letter. Think the high school football coach suspended just a year or so ago for kneeling to say a prayer at the end of a football game. Or the American military chaplains reassigned on account of their faithfulness to traditional Christianity. The Christian staffer at a daycare center who would not address a six-year-old boy as a girl and then was fired on account of it. Or the teacher fired in New Jersey for giving a curious student a Bible. And yet all of that is but the tip of a spear. While Christians are being marginalized in the West, they're being martyred in the East. In Iraq, the vast majority of Christians have been either executed or exiled. Same, of course, is true in Syria. And more troubling still is what it all portends for the future when we see resurrection of the caliphate by the Islamic State. From Ataturk onward, One jihadist network after another has tried to do this. At the time of Attakirk, it was a dream of a Muslim Brotherhood. In the era of Al-Qaeda, the dream continued. And today, the dream is owned by the Islamic State, who has announced a caliphate. All of this simply to say we live in a time in which the Christian church must once again arise from its slumber and take the commission that Christ has given us seriously. It is an absolute abomination that Islam is growing faster than Christianity. They are doing what they do for a lie. We are doing what we do, or maybe I should say often fail not to do, but what we are supposed to do is for the truth. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Well, that on my mind today, as I ask people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And remember, we have some great resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. The information on the web. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Joe. He's listening in Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joe.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question is, my son, who is now like 26, 27, he became born again a couple of years ago, but the pastor whom he initially, you know, was regenerated, was a Calvinist, I believe. And so my son is, you know, very dogmatic at an early stage in his Christianity growth. And I have been a Christian for about 33 years, and I lean towards the Arminianism, the free will. And so me and him were, he was showing me the 5 points of Calvinism versus the 5 points of Arminianism. And the first 2 points, which is what we got through before we were interrupted, you know, the Calvinist side did seem more in line with the Bible than the Arminian side. To me, the Arminian first 2 points were more like, you know, God isn't as powerful. They don't give him enough credit, and they give too much credit to human beings. But even saying that, I still am more of a free will Christian than a Calvinist. I was just wondering if you could give me your opinion on the difference, or how you justify your beliefs in the Arminian side of that.
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to recognize that those are not the only two options. I think you're better off discussing this with your son. As a Calvinist from his perspective and a non-Calvinist from yours, I don't think that you have to take on all the baggage of Arminianism in order to have a debate. But I do think that what's important is for us to recognize that there is an antinomy here. There is a tension. And that tension is between the sovereignty of God and genuine human culpability. We have the ability as human beings to act or to act otherwise, and that ability, in my view, does not in any way denigrate the sovereignty of God. I do hold those two things in tension, but I don't hold to the Calvinist position because there is no such thing as a 1 or 2 point Calvinist, as in the TU and TULIP. It is an integral system that hangs together on every point. and I think it should be debated as such. And we have done that in a number of different ways. The way that I would recommend most to you is what we did on the web at equip.org with two debate articles. How should Christians approach the problem of evil, inextricably woven together to this debate? And then the divine sovereignty, human responsibility debate. You can find both on the web. And what I would simply do is read those articles, because what you have is a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist debating the points and giving to you their best arguments from their reading of Scripture. And I think in going through that and testing what is being said in light of Scripture, you come to a conclusion based not on what one authority or another authority tells you to believe, but rather on what Scripture says is so. And I think that inextricably woven together in this debate is the notion that God, from a Calvinist perspective, not only foresaw the fall of the first man, but in him the ruin of his prosperity, his posterity, I should say, and also at his own pleasure, arranges this. Those are very, very difficult words from Calvin to square with Scripture, from my perspective, particularly in that you can read passages of Scripture that plainly say, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I do not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn from their evil ways and live," which presupposes that they can. Again, this is a debate that should be carried on with civility. What you're describing is very, very similar to what I went through. My dad was a Calvinist. He's gone home to be with the Lord. And there are few people that I admire more than my dad. But we had debates up until the time that he died on this very subject. But I had no doubt about his salvation, and he had no doubt about mine. We simply debated this, and I think in the process, I learned many things, and hopefully he was edified as well. And I've been able to keep this a debate, though I feel very strongly about it, at a collegial level. Some of the people who have most impacted my Christian walk have been Calvinists, and Calvinists who have deep humility and respect, although they are brilliant people. One Calvinist that comes to mind immediately is my good friend R.C. Sproul. I have a deep and abiding admiration for him. He's the absolute real deal. And I think one of the great testimonies to a relationship is that we could have a divide at this point, honestly, sincerely, have discussed it many times, and yet walk away with mutual love and respect. And hopefully, in a familial situation, you and your son, you'll be able to have that same absolutely wonderful experience. Want to mention as we go to break a couple of things. Again, when I come back from the break, we'll be taking more of your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And when you give electronically, let me remind you, it saves not only you time and postage, you being able to use a credit card or a debit card or an EFT, but it also allows us immediate access to resources that the ministry is in desperate need of. And when you become a CRI support team member, remember you're committing to support the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you will receive a personalized copy of any one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And for those donating to the ministry, this month we have, as mentioned at the opening of the show, some absolutely exquisite resources. One, a special standalone edition of the Christian Research Journal with one article, essentially. And it is based on a message that I gave in Bethlehem in the West Bank earlier on this year. One of the most important messages that I've given this year, it is a biblical response to Christian Zionism. And as I say in the article, this is a religio-political movement committed to the establishment of an autonomous Jewish state with Jerusalem as its capital and a rebuilt temple as its center of spiritual and sociological identity. Christian Zionism, which predates secular Zionism by more than half a century, is constructed, from my perspective, along two major theological fault lines. The first is the misconception that the Holy Land, the Holy City, and the Holy Temple continue to have theological significance. Second is the myth that God has two distinct people. I deal with both those issues in the standalone edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for your support. I think reading it will help you in your discernment skills. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Does the Bible mandate Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people? Is there truly a need to rebuild a temple and inflame the fires of Armageddon in the 21st century? Learn what's at stake when the interpretation of prophecy is distorted through the historically recent yet wildly embraced lens of dispensationalism. Receive Hank Hanegraaff's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn is unaware that global catastrophe is hours away. He's equally unaware of how his past is about to betray him. When he's sent into a hostage situation in the Gaza Strip with the woman who arrested him, they become unlikely allies fleeing for survival. Only the two of them can stop an unholy trinity prepared to trigger a final battle of civilizations and prevent the coming Armageddon. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Views of Armageddon is an end-time fiction novel about a maverick hero who must come face-to-face with his past to stop a terrorist threat in the Holy Land. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer co-authored Views of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Views of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone calls. Christian, Bakersfield, California, K-E-R-I. Hi, Christian.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So my question was about the election. This election's pretty bad for Christians. There's not really a whole lot of good answers. And so I know a lot of people, myself included, are looking at third-party candidates like the Libertarian Party. And I figure that they're at least good on freedom of religion and issues like that. But at the same time, they're pretty militant about atheism and abortion and other social issues that really go against Christianity. So can a Christian be justified, or would it be a good idea to vote for a candidate like them that, while still encourages religious freedom, might cost us a lot in the culture war?
Yeah, I think what's really important is to look at the issues that you're talking about and then make a wise decision. The issues involve, as you point out, religious freedom. And as I mentioned in the opening of the broadcast today, Christians are most certainly under attack by a militant atheism. The mores and ethos that made the West great have been denuded during the last 8 years in a way that is particularly breathtaking. I think it's also important for us to look at the significance of the Supreme Court in terms of what will in fact be the law of the land on many crucial issues. So this is a very strategic issue in the election. A strong military is a very strategic issue because the first obligation of the government is to protect its people. And I look at the mess that has been made in the Middle East as a result of a faulty paradigm that has informed our leaders, it becomes all the more important that we make important decisions not based on a whim, but rather based on the reality of what is happening in the culture and around the world today. So many issues like that ought to inform our choices. Now, from my perspective, and I can't tell anybody how to vote, I mean, this is between you and the Lord, but from my perspective, voting for a third-party candidate probably ends up playing in the hands of a system that you do not want. And so I don't think that would be the best choice. I certainly wouldn't make that choice myself. But again, you have to take into consideration before the Lord all the converging factors and recognize that our vote really matters. While you cannot legislate morality in the sense that you can't legislate morality in a unilateral fashion. You can be involved in a process by which you elect people who are going to affect the legislation of morality. So it is critical that we make wise decisions and not knee-jerk decisions. And we're always faced with the same dilemma every single election cycle. It is a dilemma of choosing the lesser of evils, because no one is perfect. So again, we just have to be wise in our choices and recognize that this election, I think, is epic if not for any other reason than religious freedom is most certainly under attack.
Okay, and actually, I think that was it. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Adam listening in Tipton, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
My pleasure.
I had a question for you. I watch a lot of TV and everything. I'm blind, you know, and everything. But anyway, I ran into this guy named Stephen Furtick. He does this show on a certain television network. And I was just wondering what you thought about him.
Well, let me say this. I am very, very disturbed by some of the people that he has had in his pulpit. As a shepherd, you protect your flock. And I think about people like Joyce Meyer, who has preached at Elevation, who is a classic Word of Faith teacher, very skilled in twisting Scripture. So she will say to the congregation, God has said in His Word that we are to call those things that are not as though they were. And I would assume she knows full well that that is not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says quite the opposite. It is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. And there are many other problems as well. This is a woman who has mocked those who have serious circumstances from a physical perspective. You think of your own blindness, and then recognize this woman has mocked a person who was a paraplegic for 38 years, saying that if she was in that paraplegic shoes, she would have got up a long time ago. Because she says she has faith that evidently the paraplegic did not. And this, again, is a twist of the biblical text in order to portray faith as a force, words the containers of the force, and the idea that through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And you can't make this stuff up. She says, and I just looked this up in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and I'll quote it. 38 years is a long time to lie somewhere waiting for someone to do something for you. I would have been on the edge of that pool. So she's contrasting herself with the person that has been a paraplegic for 38 years. And Joyce Meyer says, I, the next year, when the angel came around and when that water started bubbling, I would have fallen in and said, either I'm going to get healed or I'm going to die. I'm not going to stay like this. And then she concludes her excoriation of the paralytic with the words, sometimes we have to get up and get going and just keep moving forward. And the moral of her story is quite obviously, if you're a paraplegic, you are the problem. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, get up. In other words, the key to health and prosperity is to have faith in your own faith rather than faith in your God. And she says, faith is not just some little, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. Faith is a force that will change your life and change your destiny. Why again? Because she communicates the mantra of New Thought metaphysics, saying words are containers for power. They carry creative or destructive power, positive or negative, and so we need to be speaking right things over our lives, about our futures, if we expect to have good things happen. There's much more that I could say, but I think this is enough for a start to disqualify her from any pulpit in which the pastor is to protect parishioners. Not to mention the fact that she said there's no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe the truth I am presenting. So she takes something completely unbiblical. She says, this is the truth I present. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe in all your heart Jesus took your place in hell. In other words, in her view, when Jesus said, it is finished, the debt has been paid in full, Jesus was simply misspeaking. Because the debt, further debt, had to be paid in hell as Jesus wrestles there with all the demons of hell. And you could go on, and I have written about this in Christianity Crisis 21st Century, but the message is clear. This is not someone who should ever occupy the pulpit of an evangelical, Bible-believing church, or a church that promotes the truth of Scripture, which she most certainly twists, and not on minor points, but on major points. And there are many other examples that could be given, including T.D. Jakes. He's also spoken at Elevation. And this is a man who preaches a give-to-get gospel. He says that there are certain truths that transcend all principles, and giving-to-get is one of them. It would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give your money back to you, because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it. And he calls those who do not give to get ridiculous. His word, not mine. The idea is, from his perspective, if you give $1,000 and you get $1,000 back, you're just breaking even. The whole idea is to get a return on your money. And this, of course, is very far removed from what T.D. Jakes dubs a certain truth. In fact, as most people would immediately recognize, as Moses communicated to the children of Israel, we give so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. We give so that we might meet the physical needs of those less fortunate. Ultimately, we give so that we might extend his kingdom. And while T.D. Jakes says that is, quote, ridiculous, it is not ridiculous at all. Giving for the sake of getting is what is really ridiculous. Again, I think that we live in an epoch of time in which we should protect the flock from those among us who would gather after themselves teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear, as opposed to hearing what is true. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
Tragically, millions of American Christians have failed to understand what the Bible really says about the end times, and this has led them to support government policies that oppress Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine. Hank Hanegraaff's article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, in a special issue of the Christian Research Journal, addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run afoul of the truth. To receive your copy of Hank's article as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. How do I interpret the book of Revelation? What is dispensationalism? Does what I believe about the end times really matter? In his book, The Apocalypse Code, Hank Hanegraaff demonstrates through sound methods of interpretation what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. To receive your copy of The Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I would like to invite people to call in because I'm going to be staying for an extra hour at the end of this segment of the broadcast. So I will be here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls. If you give me a call, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can start calling now. I'll be taking some calls in this segment, but reserving the rest of my answers to your questions for the off-air hour once we sign off today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Owen, listening in Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Owen.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for your ministry.
My pleasure.
My question is kind of a curious thing. Why did Elijah flee from Jezebel?
Well, I think he not only fled Jezebel, but also Ahab, and there was a good reason for it. He had been used as the axe of God's judgment with respect to the prophets of Baal. and Ahab and Jezebel were absolutely committed to killing him. And he was very much afraid. And so he ran for his life, and he ended up under a broom tree. He sat down there, and he prayed to God that God might take his life. Instead, what happened is God sent an angel, and he was strengthened. He was able to run, I think it was 40 days and 40 nights. So God supernaturally gave him strength for the task ahead, which ultimately would involve anointing his successor, Elisha, I should say. And so I don't in any way fault Elijah. And the reason I don't is because I find the same fault in myself. And I remember that the Lord told us that we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically. First take the beam out of our own eye before we seek to take the mote out of someone's eye. And I would certainly feel that that is appropriate, for my beam is far greater than his mote. So I'm not about to judge him. I, in his life, find some parallels in my own, and those parallels are very instructive. So many times after God has given us great victory, I fall prey to the same thing, fear. And that is the human condition. And so I confess my sins, recognizing that God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Okay. It's just that, you know, quite often preachers kind of joke about him fleeing from one woman when he just killed 400 prophets. And then, on the other hand, my other thought is, David isn't criticized for fleeing from Saul to save his life.
Well, and you think about the modern epoch in which we live and the persecution of a militant atheism and the leaders of our country today. So you talk about a man and a woman, Ahab and Jezebel. We see in our own government the power of people. And sometimes that power is more than a little daunting, particularly when those people have the power to take away your livelihood. And so often we do not trust, and certainly that's not to be commended, but certainly it is something that can be understood or apprehended in our own lives.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense to me. It just always bugs me that, you know, he's made fun of for fleeing for his life. And, you know, I guess God didn't say, hey, you can stay there and I'll protect you. Do the smart thing and flee and I'll protect you. Come back and fight another day.
Well, you know, again, I can only point to myself as an example, and I may not be proud of pointing to myself as an example. I look at how many times, look at it from a perspective of finances. I take stands that simply do not help this organization financially. They're not beneficial to this organization. They hurt us financially. And so many times after I take a stand like that, and then we start to pay the consequences for the stand, I begin to get fearful. I start to sweat. And I'm not proud of that again, but I'm simply being transparent. And I do confess my sin, particularly in light of the fact that I've been doing this so many years and I've seen God's faithfulness over and over and over again, and many times in the most unusual ways, ways that cannot be pawned off as mere coincidence. You see the hand of God. And yet, I continually fail in faith, and I therefore continually confess my sin, knowing that he's faithful and just. He will forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I doubt that there are many people listening to me today that cannot identify in some way with what I'm saying. So what we find in the Bible is not airbrushed figures, figures whose lives are such that we cannot in any way relate. We find real people with real warts and moles and wrinkles, and we can identify with them and see God's providence in their life as a means of encouraging us to run the race, to finish the fight, and then get that crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to us on that day. And not only to us, but to all, as Paul says, who have longed for his appearing.
Okay, well, that helps a lot, and I thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Jane in Minden City, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jane.
Hello, thank you. Dr. Hank Anagraff.
Hi.
Oh, I'm new at this. I appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I would like to know who is safe to listen to on TV for evangelists. Like, I like David Jeremiah, and I thought I liked Joyce Meyer until you spoke about what goes on, so I don't want to watch her anymore. But
you know what I think is so important, Jane, is to become so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And that way I don't have to give you a list of people that you should not watch, but rather you yourself, when you watch, can immediately discern that what is being spoken contradicts, conflicts, or confuses the essentials of the historic Christian faith. I've said it many times in this broadcast, it bears repeating: in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. But when you find preachers, and there are a lot of them on television, who contradict the essentials of the Christian faith, it is time to switch the dial and perhaps even start thinking that the real place for Christians to be is in a healthy, well-balanced church. We so often have taken the route of tele-evangelists. And I saw an ad the other day when I was driving. You don't have to go to church because you can turn on the TV and have a freshly brewed cup of coffee and enjoy the Lord in isolation. But that's not how the church works. When you're baptized into a community of faith, as within the community of faith that you take communion. Which, again, is an expression of the oneness we have in Christ, who empowers us to go out and change the world and live a life not by might nor by power, but by participation in the divine nature, as Peter puts it.
Well, I mean, even to the point where, you know, one church will say infant baptism is great, and that's what we've believe, and that's how we were raised. And then you go to an open door missionary church, and then they say you have to be submersed and you have to be born again, and it's so confusing because of how we were brought up in the Lutheran church.
Well, but once again, what's important to recognize is that baptism is very, very significant, but modes of baptism are not the ultimate issue. It is the meaning that is ascribed to baptism that is of utmost importance. So again, critical to distinguish between those items that are essential dogmas of the historic Christian faith and those which are secondary, not unimportant, but secondary in the sense that we can debate them vigorously, but ultimately do not have to divide over them. Jane, I hope that helps.
Well, I'm still a little confused, but
I wrote a book called Christianity Crisis 21st Century. If you want a book that really deals with the specter of televangelism, that book does it.
The reason I ask is because I can't always get to church in the morning. I've had health issues that they mostly come up in the mornings and that, and I'm better if I can go to a church where it's later in the day, you know, like a 6 o'clock church. And so I've been trying to get to church, you know, once in a while, like maybe once every 6 weeks or 4 weeks, I get to church in the morning.
Well, I think that given whatever restrictions you have, you still need to identify with a healthy, well-balanced church, because not only do you have gifts to give to the church, but they have gifts to give to you. So the Christian life is not one that is carried on in isolation, but rather one that is carried on in community. Again, the book Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. Jane, if you have the resources, please order it. If you don't, stay on. Let those that will talk to you after we're done with our conversation, let them know that you need the book, and we'll be happy to send it to you as our gift. So in either case, I think it's important for you to read that book because it'll give you all the principles that you need to know, particularly in the condition in which you find yourself. I'm almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As mentioned just a few moments ago, I'd appreciate many of you calling in and asking your questions over the next hour. Even though we will not be live, I will be recording your answers or my answers live to your questions, and I'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. So you can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and for the next hour, I'll be taking your calls. I do also want to thank people as we close out the broadcast for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We could not do what we do without you. Together, not in isolation, but together, we're able to make a difference for time and for eternity. And I cannot think of a more significant time in the history of this ministry, a more significant time for people to stand with this ministry. This ministry is on the cutting edge of dealing with those issues which are of critical importance, not only to the future of our country, but to the future of this world. So stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn is unaware that global catastrophe is hours away. He's equally unaware of how his past is about to betray him. When he's sent into a hostage situation in the Gaza Strip with the woman who arrested him, they become unlikely allies fleeing for survival. Only the two of them can stop an unholy trinity prepared to trigger a final battle of civilizations and prevent the coming Armageddon. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.